PTA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville.
The Mickey Plyler Show
on 105.5 The Roar.
That was such an odd start to the day.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman way over town, good to me. Oh, yeah. She give me money.
You see, your buddy Tim Tebow got engaged?
Yeah, she's a kind.
Former Miss Universe?
I did see that. Congratulations.
Oh, boy, didn't do too bad for himself.
Took him long enough.
Yeah. In this hour, I have our CBS Sports final top 129. Go over all the teams in the top 129. And I want to get into the early enrollees and what that means. Finally, in this segment later, we're going to get into one of the residual big winners from Monday night. And it's not Clemson. Tell you who here in a minute. 8:05 on a Friday means our Jinx Inc. Realty Hunting and Fishing Report. Good morning, Jinx. Patrick, how you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm riding cloud nine just like the rest of us. A little bit more broke, but a lot more excited.
We got to sell some long driveways today, buddy. You got to pay for some of this trip.
That's right. We got to sell some long driveways. I like that.
You remember that very first trip out to Arizona, and at that time the Powerball got up to $1 billion, and my buddy said, man, if we win that Powerball, we might be able to pay for some of this trip. It's expensive doing all that.
This is another topic, but these people talk about wanting to expand to 8. I mean, until you experience how expensive it is as a fan, it's wow.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
No doubt about that. Hey, you sent me an interesting text about this topic today. And you said you want to talk about turkey population and politics. Now, I think that's redundant a little bit, isn't it? Isn't politics all about turkeys anyway?
The turkeys and politics goes hand in hand. Yeah, right. Definitely does. Definitely does. Well, we're in an interesting state, Mickey. South Carolina is one of the states in that the legislation sets the season dates as opposed to the Department of Natural Resources. Now, that body may have a different name in different states, but South Carolina, in some states, if the DNR says that the population should, you know, the season should be X, and that's what's implemented. But we have to actually go through legislation. And for that reason, sometimes things take a lot longer to get passed, and sometimes they turn into a camels. If you've ever heard of, if a horse is designed by a committee, you get a camel. So sometimes that can happen, but... And the biggest problem is it's hard to get the research. Sometimes they cut funding to research, so it's hard to have fact-based conversations. But recently that's been done. There's been a change, and there was a 4-year study on what was going on with the turkey populations. It was headed up by a Clemson grad named Jay Cantrell, a guy who I respect and very much, and they worked really hard on this and did a long study and came back with some results. And those results are essentially going to recommend that turkey season start later than it used to and reduce the number of days for turkey season slightly. And hopefully the net effect will have a positive effect on the turkey population. So anyway, that's coming down the pipe. It won't be for this year. It'll be for next year, but you'll hear about it as it goes through legislation. And it's interesting that they'll spend a lot of time arguing about it other important things like roads and things and budget and stuff like that. Are in the same conversation. They'll switch from roads and DOT and other laws and then start talking about turkey populations. But that's the way it is in South Carolina.
Do you get involved in that conversation by calling your local representative? Do people need to do that to voice opinions on any of that wildlife, anything that you guys want to see?
The paper from the research study, it's a great paper. You can learn a lot from looking at it. And there's some survey results on there. It's on the SCDNR webpage. You can look it up. It's right there at the top. It's a long read. There's an executive summary if you want the short side of it. But, you know, the long and the short of it is that about 4 years ago, we reduced the limit from 5 turkeys to 3 turkeys. but they doubled the season. So the season used to just be a month, and they changed it to 6 weeks statewide. Well, the net result was more turkeys were killed because more people had time to kill turkeys. Uh-huh. And so that didn't give the effect on the population because right. turkey hunting is so much fun, but you know that because I talk about it all the time,
right.
that the number of hunters is increasing as well. So, and also the techniques for killing the turkeys and the firearms to kill the turkeys are getting more advanced, so people are getting more effective. So they're studying how to keep the season as close to the same, but also protect something. Basically, this is the second most popular sport in South Carolina for hunting after deer hunting. And so it's important, not only for the sake of the turkey, but for the sake of the economy of the state to have a healthy population. Mm. And if I was going to call my legislature right now, my recommendation would be that they fund projects that do research so that we have fact-based conversations and that they support the recommendations of the DNR. I think that the DNR, you know, their whole job is to figure this stuff out, and you got to take that in, and weigh it heavily.
You're talking about climbing Everest to have a politician have a fact-based conversation, though, so that's going to be tough for you.
Hey, you know, a lot of these South Carolina politicians are outdoorsmen, and they yeah. really respect it, and I'm appreciative of that, and it's something that I want to be sustained for a long time.
Let's pay for some trips, pay for some of that great hunting gear. Let's sell some property. I was on the website. As I always get your guys' email or text on Thursday. It reminds me to go check it out. And, man, I'm envious of some of these properties. And I saw you had a huge sale here recently. I know you guys celebrate all these sales, but, boy, it seemed like business is booming going into 2019 for you.
Yeah, we did sell a big farm around Clemson. It was, you know, it was great to get that done. We've had several sales. January is going to be a great month. Coming out, it's amazing how people get back from all the bowl games and they're ready to do business. So I'm excited about that. And it really hit us hard on Wednesday. But yes, we do have a lot more on. We've got a great track on the Saluda River. We got one on the Reedy River. We got stuff going on around Clemson coming up. New properties up in Spartanburg. We had our team meeting a couple of days ago, and everybody sort of hit the ground running for 2019, and we're excited. We're up to like 15 agents now in the upstate, so our wildlife service has grown over last year, too, so check us out if you need help finding a tract of land or if you need help taking care of it. You can give us a call at 864-631-2770. That's 864-631-2770, and you can look us up at jinxincrealty.com.
Awesome stuff, buddy. Great. Everything looks great. Glad you guys made it back safe and looking forward to talking to you next week.
Heck yeah, man. Bye-bye. Y'all have a great restful weekend. I know y'all been going hard at it for several days.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a little R&R here, no doubt. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. That's Jinx Patrick, Jinx Inc. Realty. Mr. Ward 24, I hadn't talked to you in a while. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Doing great, buddy. Doing great.
I need your input on this. I want to talk about a storyline for all these early enrollees that are coming. 17 early enrollees at Clemson now. All these guys are already enrolled in school. You ready?
Yep.
Tyshawn Pumachon at quarterback. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going to be your starter.
Obviously.
Obviously, Chase Bryce is your backup going to the spring.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to see? What's a storyline for where he is? My thing would be like his starting point. Where's his baseline right now? And where does it compare to other guys here? And where do they have to go with moving him to get him ready to maybe take some snaps? Maybe as early as next year because you only got two quarterbacks on scholarship.
Yeah, just curious to see what his attitude is going to be coming in and if it's an adjustment period. You know, obviously these guys that are highly recruited that have all these stars coming out of high school, they're the guy where they're coming from. And as you just mentioned, he's going to be sitting on the bottom of the totem pole here. Just kind of getting him adjusted to it, seeing where his talent is in relation to what else is on the field. He comes from an area up there in the Northeast that isn't traditionally rich with football talent and competition. So it's going to be interesting to see where he stacks up to his teammates and ultimately the competition across the field.
You have three wide receivers coming in early. Latson, yeah. Ngata, and Spector.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how athletic and what these guys look like coming in, how they compare.
Yeah.
There's not.
They are stupid deep at wide receiver next season.
Is this going to be the deepest
one? Oh, my goodness.
I think, first of all, Spector's going to be a lot better player than you think.
Sure.
I think that Ngata and Latson fit right in, and there's not a lot of snaps out there because of Higgins and Ross and Overton and Rodgers and Powell and Kendrick and Chase. There's not a lot of snaps out there available right now. But how are you going to keep these guys off the field? Because these are good-looking Jessies.
You know what? They're good-looking kids on film, on tape, what people have been talking about them. But at the end of the day, you kind of just want to see it for yourself, don't you? You want to see what they look like in person. Yeah. Is there something different about a guy that has a talent, that has a special, unique talent for that position? And it's evident to even an untrained eye such as ourselves to see that, and it's fun to watch.
Now, you and I, we will get to go to one or two or three, maybe whatever spring practices, and then the spring game. So, can't wait to put an eyeball on that. Jalen Lay is coming in at tight end, and normally you'd say, you know, good looking, physically great looking kid.
Hope he can play.
Well, yeah, because Richard gone, Kenneth Smith gone. Who knows about? We don't know about Garrett Williams yet, and then Galloway and the impending suspension continuing, and there's just not a lot of depth at tight end right now. And this kid might get thrown by fire by baptism. It seems like, but. Of all the guys coming in, his body looks like it might be the very best one, most ready to play.
Yeah, we heard a lot about he is physically mature for his age and mature, excuse me, and he is the guy that fits the mold. Is his hands going to be there? Are his hands going to be there? Is he going to understand the playbook? Kind of just, you know, bring everything. He's going to be a freshman at some point. It's good that he's enrolling early and he's going to have a spring to get some time under his belt in terms of the playbook and then getting along with the teammates and quarterbacks and of a new team.
Offensive linemen don't usually play early. That has changed an awful lot. I mean, Jackson Carman played this year. We saw the Bockhorst played early. And these guys are playing earlier and earlier. Every single Tremaine Ankrum and Pollard played as true freshmen. With Putnam, with Boating, and Rayburn, all three of those guys are here early. And, you know, I think that Robbie Caldwell in the development part of this thing, it wouldn't surprise me if this was a pretty big spring. Now, they won't be starters, but in providing some depth in some areas, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe a guy or two made a little push on the 2D.
In that All-Star game that Putnam played in, was the Army All-American game? What was the one he played in?
Now called the All-American game, yes.
Well, yeah, he looked smaller than I thought he was. I think he's probably going to put on some weight this summer and this spring. You'll probably see him push for that 2D position in the fall. But now it's a matter of just getting into the weight room with the Clemson staff, building your body up and taking off any bad weight and putting on the good stuff.
Yeah. Defensive line-wise, you have Tyler Davis coming in. I think that's the storyline there. Cash, Ruben, Aurora, there is spots available now, depth spots available especially, but like a Tyler Davis, this is going to be a pretty big spring in my opinion.
Tyler Davis is a huge gift for the Clemson team, and he needs to be a guy that can come in and probably contribute right away. Am I mistaken in that?
I don't see how you can keep – well, you know, who knows. But right now, yeah, I think there's a great opportunity for him to be on the 2-deep.
To be on the 2-deep, yeah, contribute right away. I mean, losing your entire defensive line, starting defensive line, that is. You're going to need depth of position. You have depth there, and that's why you feel – okay enough going into next season. You're still a little nervous about it, but that's next season's problem. That's future Clemson Tigers' problem. For now, you need to develop some talent behind your perceived starters and hope for the best.
What's very interesting to me is you've got these linebackers that are coming in, yet none of them are coming in early. So, and they're going to need some linebacker play, so you got to get those guys ready. In the secondary, first at corner, Booth is not coming in, but Sheridan Jones comes in, and with Trayvon Mullen leaving, Sheridan Jones has an opportunity, I think. And it's not like, you know, Dawkins or Williams have stepped out there and coming back next year with A.J. Terrell. That you lose Mullins, you lose Field, but McMichael and Goodrich, there's a chance for Sheridan Jones, I think. And he's big enough and strong enough, physically big enough, I think you might see him make a little splash in the spring.
Sheridan Jones?
Yes.
Not Andrew Booth?
Booth's not coming in the spring.
Yeah, but he's the higher-ranked recruit, is he?
Yeah, Booth will be a star. But I'm talking
year
about,
one?
Huh?
Year one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to look like A.J. Terrell and look like Mullen and look like, you know, some of those. Put it this way, he's the highest-rated cornerback they've ever signed. right? Number 8 player in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He might drop because he didn't play in any All-Star games.
Depending on the rankings you're looking at, right?
Hmm?
Depending on the rankings.
The Rivals rank is what we look at. But my point is that, at least from an early enrollee standpoint, we'll get the eyeball Sheridan Jones, and there's an opportunity at cornerback, and he's big enough, strong enough to handle that.
I love it.
On the final side of this thing, well, not final, next final thing, you've got 3 safeties in Thornton and Charleston and Zanders, and we don't know yet about Muse, but we know that Wallace is coming back with Turner and with Denzel Johnson, that there's a potential with the much nickel as you play now, as much dime as you can play now, all the special teams, these guys are going to get thrown to the fire a little bit.
There's definitely an opportunity to play at safety. It's a position that we talked about a little bit yesterday in terms of guys leaving or maybe not coming back for the draft. There's some thinness there. There needs to be a little depth established, and coming in early will definitely give those gentlemen a leg up on the competition.
Finally, and we never mentioned this, never mentioned anything about it until it goes wrong. I thought in the playoffs, I thought Will Spires had a very good playoff. But he's still going to be pushed this spring because Aiden Swanson, the left footer, is coming in. One of the higher-ranked punters in the country is coming in. So we're going to have a competition this spring with punting. We don't normally talk about special teams a lot in the spring practice, but there's going to be some punting competition now.
The first punt against Alabama was arguably his best punt of the season, right?
Because it was great hang time. Oh, and
it was beautiful.
And it got him out of a hole.
It was a thing of beauty. Yeah.
And it set up a pick six.
It's great. His second one, and it was the thing with Spires all season long. It was consistency and the ability to perform week in and week out. The second one was the rugby style, and it was dreadful. It went for 39 yards and was picked up and run back a little more. It's just working on the consistency, because you can go out to those practices and you go out to the first couple of sessions for the media, and you see him work on the other field, and he's booming punts. You see him in pregame, he's booming punts. For whatever reason, the game time situations haven't worked out in his favor more often than not. So, yes, he will be pushed in the spring with a lefty coming in, and we'll see what happens there.
So, 17 newcomers, early enrollees. Tomorrow, on the idea of recruiting, tomorrow, Jerion Ely will be in town. Actually, tonight, probably coming in town. And he'll go through the parade, or watch the parade and watch the stadium celebration and all that tomorrow, and then get to go to a little banquet tomorrow night. It's gonna be a lot of fun keeping up with maybe when they do the Rivals re-ranking next week, maybe a 5-star running back. So we will...
5-star running back, but will he play football?
Because he's a 5-star center fielder, too. So that will be determined later on.
Could be a good get for Monty Lee and the boys over there as well.
Could be an awfully good get for everybody.
Mm.
Center fielder tracking down balls and a running back making some great plays. Could be a great storyline to follow. Hey, our friends at the Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com, PATTAX.com, 859-8289. I was on their website and seeing their 50 years of experience now. We get texts. Whenever we mention an ad like this, I get a text saying, hey, just got back from Donnie, just starting to go over there. I talked to someone yesterday who said, in this advanced loan thing, or advance on your refund thing, that they got their advance back from the Patterson Tax Service in 55 minutes. Now, that's not always going to be the case. It might be the next day sometimes now. But instead of waiting on your refund to come in mid-February now, you know what? You can look at and see what it looks like, and they can give you an advance on it and up to $6,000. To find out about advances in those and find out how you get that money faster, the Patterson Tax Service wants to walk you through that and do your taxes for you. 859-8289, 859-8289. The years of expertise in a very complicated tax year with new tax codes. Let them maximize that return for you. It is a great investment. I will never go anywhere else. The Patterson Tax Service, 859-8289. PATTAX.com. We'll take a break. CBS Sports has their final final 129 list. We'll tell you where Tigers, Gamecocks, Bulldogs, Seminoles, we'll tell you where everybody is on that list after a very short break and some open phone calls after this.
Whether you're looking for a quick lunch, celebrating a special occasion, or just want a great dinner with friends, Carson's is your place. Featuring hand-cut steaks from their in-house butcher, fresh-baked yeast rolls, and all the peanuts you can eat. Open every day. Enjoy happy hour Monday through Saturday, 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. with discounted appetizers, beer, wine, and cocktails. Try the golden fried catfish sandwich, filet mignon, or smoked ribs today. View their full menu online at carsonsteakwarehouse.net. Carson's Steak Warehouse and Saloon.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Leighton Cubbage, class of 77, with an update on Lakeside Lodge Clemson. This condo hotel is officially under construction, and if you love the Clemson family, then you need to know about it. Lakeside Lodge offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos starting from the mid-200s. You can use it whenever you want, and rent it when you're away. With hotel amenities like housekeeping, food and beverage services, you get the perks of ownership without the hassle of maintenance. Hurry, because these condos are selling fast. Visit our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard, next to Ruby Tuesdays.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
If you want a Honda, Acura, Lexus, or Toyota, there's only one place to get your car, SUV, or truck serviced. That's First Class HALT. HALT stands for Honda, Acura, Lexus, and Toyota. That's all they do, and they do it well. And they back it up with some of the best warranties in the upstate. Be sure to check them out online. The latest specials can be found at firstclasshalt.com. That's firstclasshalt.com. Or visit them in Greenville at 1304 Roper Mountain Road or in Anderson at 4135 Clemson Boulevard. That's First Class HALT.
With over 8,000 certified pre-owned vehicles in their network, Henrik Honda Easley is ready to help you buy your next vehicle that will exceed your expectations. All their vehicles come with a warranty and your first maintenance included, and they even review repair orders with you to show they truly stand behind their product. Henrik Honda Easley wants you and your family to have a safe, reliable vehicle that you tell all your friends about. Check out their inventory at HenrikHondaSC.com. Again, that's HenrikHondaSC.com.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Rolls right side. Looks downfield. Throws. Got Renfro breaking. And he makes the grab. He does. Oh, what a grab at the 30 of Syracuse on the number.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Glad to have you with us, Krut LED, krutled.com. The thing about Krut is that if you want to save money up front and continue saving money, they've got a great plan for you. If you're a Duke Energy customer, they can give you these upfront rebates. You're going to love it at Krut. Not only that, every single month, your power bill is lower as a result of LED lights, and no humming, no buzzing. Nothing along those lines. You can't beat that part of it. And it's going to be safer for your employees, safer for your customers. There are so many different reasons to get LED lights in your signs, in your parking lots, in your building. So if you're in charge of this or know anybody in your company is in charge of this, save money up front with these rebates. Save money every single month and get better lights. Win-win-win situation. I like the win-win-win ones. 864-401-8506, 864-401-8506. Hey, you want to do a quick win game for Clemson next year?
For next year already?
Yeah.
We're not going to bask in the glory of this season?
No, because I was going to do this. Win. When's the next regular season game Clemson's going to be an underdog?
An underdog?
Mm-hmm.
Not in Trevor's career.
Maybe at Notre Dame in 20, but I don't think so. Regular season, I don't know.
Not in Trevor's career.
When's the next time Trevor's going to lose a football game?
Probably preseason NFL game.
Let me get Jason in Columbia, 654 Roar. Hey, good morning, Jason. How you doing?
Oh, man, I am feeling like a champion, Mick. Feeling like a champion again.
Yeah. Well, it does feel good, doesn't
someone,
it?
Oh, man, it does. You know, someone once said never again, but I feel again right now.
I feel very again right now.
Yeah. Hey, you know, your guest in the previous hour brought up what I thought was an interesting point about Dabo's demeanor before the game. And it's something that I kind of noticed after the game. And I was just thinking the difference between 2016 and 2018 championships. And I realized the 2016 one, he didn't know he was going to win until there was 1 second left. So there's all that outpouring of emotion. Whereas this one, man, you know, we all had time to settle in and just enjoy it. But I felt like, and I was wondering if you picked up on this, you know, he was so emotional 2016. And I think all of us can understand why, and I think he represented the whole fan base. I mean, we were waiting 35 years for this, and obviously coming off the heartbreak from the year before. This year, it seemed more like when they talked to him after the game and up on the podium, he was just kind of like having fun, you know, just, you know, I can't wait to celebrate. You know, there was this feeling that, hey, you know, this isn't anything out of the norm. You know, he kind of made that comment. I told him we were going to win again. I just didn't know what year. But I just felt like that's kind of how I felt too, man. You know, I was there. I didn't get to go to the game this time. I was there in Tampa, and I was emotional, man. Everybody around me was emotional. But I felt like this time around it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, we expect this. I mean, we're the premier program in college football now. And I just wondering, is that something that you picked up on either just after the game or at various points maybe during this season versus kind of the climb up the hill the first time?
Well, I thought, and I just watched the other day, the Tom Rinaldi interview first before the Reese Davis interview. And those are two different interviews. With Rinaldi, it was more of a celebration, a typical Dabo, a BYOG, Roy Bus Dabo kind of guy. On Reese Davis, it felt a lot more serious, and even to the point where it sounded a little bit like Nick Saban, because he said, man, Friday Friday morning, we're going to have a staff meeting to get ready on doing this thing again. So those sounded like two different interviews. But I will tell you this, going into it, and he did mention it several times, they felt like they were the better team. I mentioned several times now, and I talked to him yesterday about it. Rodney Williams sent me this text saying Clemson's going to win by 17. Rodney spent 2 days at practice before the national championship and spent some time in the staff meetings like he always does every week. And he goes, we are the better football team. And he says, we're the deeper team, and Trevor will be the difference in this game. I think this staff fully thought that they were going to win the game and fully thought that. Whereas you go back to 16, and you might think that, but a last-second touchdown catch feels different than blowing out somebody in a national championship game, maybe.
Yeah, and you know, I admit, I mean, going back to 2015, I mean, I hate Georgia. I just got to be honest with you. I love the fact that their fans must be going through HE-double hockey sticks, because that's what I felt in 2015. You felt like you had the best chance you had in over 30 years, and you let it slip through your fingers. And I worried personally. I knew Dabo would build a program, but you couldn't help but worry, is all of this related to Deshaun, the greatest player we've ever had? You know, what happens when he goes? And we knew he was leaving after the 2016. So that whole season to me, and that off season was so long and such a grind. And all those close games in 2016 were such a grind, and you could feel just that emotional outpouring once you finally did it, and it's just a sense of relief. Well, this year now, it's funny, the way that we just killed people, you look back on it, and you kind of go, why was I ever worried about anything this season? You know what I mean? It turned out to be we were such a dominant team. And to see where Dabo's got the program now, you know, we're bigger than one player, obviously. As great as Deshaun was, as great as anybody that we've had come through here, he has built such a program. And I can see, obviously, all of us can see now, and it's still shocking to say, you know, what Rodney was alluding to. And I've heard several national shows talk about it. Clemson had the better team. They had the better athletes. I mean, when have you ever said that? they had the better athletes on the field. And I just leave you with this. Who would have ever thought, I mean, have you ever seen Nick Saban look so combination of rattled and just resigned to the fact that he had no idea what to do to stop what was coming?
Great points, Jason. I think you make a great phone call, man. I appreciate you checking in with us. Always love hearing from you, and check back in with us more often, okay?
Absolutely. Again.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. Jason on fire. You know what Nick Saban looked like, Zach? And the first time I can ever tell you this? Nick Saban looked old. He looked, when he kind of takes that away and makes you look younger and energized and you're getting Gatorade baths and guys are messing with your hair and you look, you know, you're smiling a lot and all stuff. Saban looked, I never thought he looked old ever. I thought he looked old Monday night.
I'm not going to make the mistake of discounting Nick Saban.
No.
For next season. Now he's old. This is the beginning of the end. Cracking the armor, chinking the armor. I'm not doing that.
No, they'll use this as motivation.
Until he retires.
There's way too many good players to say Alabama's done. But what we saw Monday, we've never seen before.
What did we say yesterday? Dabo won his second at 49 and Saban won his second at
57. Old. Looked very old. I am surprised that Chad in Columbia calls us now because I thought he moved on to bigger and better after being on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday, and a buddy of mine sent me the audio. And Chad, I got to tell you, you not only were you brilliant in what you tried to say to Feinbaum, but I'm just a little surprised that you lowered yourself to call us today.
Like, I'm going to start body bagging Feinbaum weekly now. I'm sick of it, but, you know, the arrogance of Bama fans. And Nick, the arrogance of Nick Saban. You know, I was watching an interview, you and Jason, by far Jason, best caller on the show. But it was Nick, I was watching an interview with Chris Fowler and Saban and Dabo leading up to the game. And Fowler made some type of joke about trick plays and, you know, onside kicks and that type of thing. And Saban makes a joke like, yeah, I know they're going to have a ton of them. And Dabo kind of looked at Saban kind of like startled almost a little bit, like, you think we need to trick play y'all, bro? And so I think that's the kind of stuff that just has a chip on Dabo's shoulder. But it was Vic, I watched the replay last night and just, you know, watching the plays the wide receiver core made. And then, you know, reflecting back to the 2016 National Championship game, the plays Mike Williams made and Jordan Leggett. I mean, our wide receiver core, Mickey, was the difference in the game. Yeah. I mean, they were able to separate. They were able to make just incredible plays with that huge catch radius they have, the speed to get separation. So it got me thinking, is there a more underrated assistant coach in Clemson football history than Jeff Scott? I mean, does he have the best unit or position room in the nation, regardless of position?
Well, both of those, yes. Jeff Scott never gets enough credit. Jeff Scott modernized recruiting around Clemson, the social media aspect of it, of understanding the importance of all that. Jeff is a major part of all that. And then identifying some of these guys across the country and then taking the brand across the country and understanding, what branding is and how you're doing it and how this works out. He's done an unbelievable job of that. And, no, I don't know, as good as Clemson's defensive line was and very, very important there. I agree with you. I think the wide receiver room that he has had throughout, I mean, not even in the national championship seasons or the playoff seasons, but where would Clemson be without what Nuke did in the LSU game? And where would Clemson be without what Sammy did in the Ohio State game and the Orange Bowl? And what would Clemson be without Mike Williams in the national championship game against Alabama? And then you see what Higgins and Ross did this past week. Now, Jeff Scott is a absolute vital part of this program and yeah, underrated, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, Mick. And, you know, that just leads to so much more. I mean, if you're a five-star QB, you know, the reason Trevor Lawrence was so excited about Clemson was he knew the receivers he'd be throwing to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that position just creates such a differentiating, it just makes you so much better. I mean, because, you know, it's obvious we struggled to run the ball against Alabama. And so because we had Ross and Higgins and Renfro, and I mean, then we rolled in guys like Darion Kendrick and Overton, who had started a lot of schools. And so just literally amazing what he's done. And then, you know, to think that that room might be better next year with the additions of the young guys we got coming in. So, anyways, Vic, last thing I got for you, just an advice question. So, I'm begging my Gamecock wife to let me take our nine-month-old to the parade. She's saying it's too far, it's too cold, can't do it. Mainly because she's a Clemson hater. So, this is my question, Mitch. Multiple choice.
Right.
Do I, A, take the baby and risk an Amber Alert? B, do I take the baby and try to risk a divorce? C, do I just obey the wife and maybe try to watch it online on some stream somewhere? Take your answer off air.
Thank you, Chad. I don't want to see an Amber Alert tomorrow with Chad. I don't want to see that. But you can't not go to the parade. My negotiating strategy would be that, and they live in Columbia.
Yep.
My negotiating strategy would be the idea that it's too far to go. Well, if the kid wants to see a college football national championship parade, then that's how far she's got to go. That she will not be able to stay in her own hometown and see a national championship football parade. Maybe a college basketball, maybe a women's basketball parade. But you won't get to see a college football national championship parade unless you get in the car and drive up 2 hours.
We have a lawyer texting in this morning, says he'll handle the divorce pro bono. So.
But no Amber Alerts, man.
No.
No, we can't do that.
I mean, listen, you can go to next year's. It's fine.
Oh.
Yeah. She's young. She's a little baby, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to do it. You have to do
it. She's not going
to
remember it.
Lawyer up is what I'm telling you.
Lawyer up.
Your Honor, my client clearly was going to have to drive 2 hours anyway to see one because there's not going to be one in his hometown. The girl's only, let me ask you something. The baby's less than 2 years old now. Will the baby ever see one in her hometown?
No.
Not unless she moves to Clemson.
No.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I had an absolute wonderful meal and time yesterday with the guys over at Engineered Sleep.
Did you pick it up?
Deborah did.
Ah, man.
I would have.
Of course. You were reaching for it.
Well, I got alligator arms. I'm like, can't quite get down there.
Can't quite get there.
It was very nice of Deborah to do that. But we had a great time. I learned so much. A family member of mine spent $9,995 on a bed. And I asked him, I said, send me what all's on your bed. And they sent it to me. He goes, man, all that's marketing stuff. That stuff doesn't matter. I learned the gimmicks of what people do and how they do it and more of that. And the other, finally, is in learning about how they make their mattresses at Engineered Sleep and how that goes about. Folks, it is, you need to talk to these guys about what goes into it and what all it means. When I say Engineered Sleep, I mean these beds that are made right here in Greenville, exactly how you want them made, shipped to you, or you can come by and pick them up like so many of our people have done now, and saving you money because it's a wholesale situation. But without, you're going to get a better quality anyway, but you're not going to pay that kind of outrageous prices. Educate yourself on how to buy a mattress. I got a big education yesterday about it. Engineered Sleep, engineeredsleep.com, off of Congaree Road over in Greenville. Final break of the week. We'll come back with that final segment after a short one.
Clemson Nation celebrates.
This ball game is over.
Your Clemson Tigers are the 2019 national champions.
They come to California and strike gold.
All season long.
Etienne cuts it to the 15, he's at the 10, at the 5, stays on his feet, headed for the end zone, and in.
Every great play.
Under pressure, they got him in second at the 9-yard line.
Every victory in this historic season.
Oh, what a play for the Clemson defense.
Right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson once again paints the college football world orange.
The Clemson Tigers, first ever 15-0 team in modern history. National champions.
Clemson downs Alabama 44-16 to win their second national championship in 3 years.
Congratulations from the Clemson Tigers Network.
Congratulations to Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers for winning the third national championship. You caught it all right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Hello, beautiful.
Well, today it's hello, handsome. I'm Angela Matthews.
And I'm Cindy Jackson. We're with Back to 30 Rejuvenation Centers, and we're here to talk about tips, tricks, and celebrity secrets.
Guys, do you have fatigue, weight gain, loss of muscle mass, or low sex drive?
It may be low T.
And Back to 30 can help.
For a limited time, get it checked for only $99.
Call 372-3003, backto30.com, where consultations are always free.
Look good.
Feel good.
Life's good.
Goodbye, handsome.
Let us bring your new Honda directly to you. Henrik Honda Easily now offers direct on-site demos of your new Honda. Don't want to deal with traffic? Henrik Honda Easily will bring your new Honda to your work, home, or church. Call today to schedule your personal on-site car buying experience from Henrik Honda Easily. Call 864-855-1234 or visit ilovehenrikhondaeasily.com. Again, ilovehenrikhondaeasily.com. Experience a world-class difference at Henrik Honda Easily.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
Checking in with Jana Candler, Realtor Extraordinaire with Berkshire Hathaway Sedan Joiner. Jana, what do you think you've learned since becoming a realtor?
I've learned that being a good realtor is answering your phone, getting back to people in a very timely manner, and basically just handling the transaction so that they have nothing to worry about. This job really isn't about selling. It's more about managing people and their expectations and basically just taking care of them.
Jana, what has made you successful over the past year?
One of the things that sets me apart is my ability to take care of people. This job really isn't about selling. It's more about managing people and helping them get to the closing line. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate in the upstate, call me, Jana Candler, with Berkshire Hathaway Sedan Joiner at 864-313-6990. And as always, go Tigers.
I'm a real person, real voice, and a real face, even though you can't see it because, you know, radio invisibility. You know what else is super duper real? Geico local offices. A Geico local agent could tailor fit a policy to you, which could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All because Geico local agents keep it real, with real savings and real service. Really.
And if you're looking for more ways to save, your local Geico agent could help with your homeowners, condo, and renter's insurance too. Stop by or give them a call today.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
At AutoZone, helping you get more done is what we do best. Like with the AutoZone Rewards Program, you'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more five times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for $22.99 after a $7 AutoZone gift card by mail. Upgrade to a K&N filter for $3 more. Visit any of our 5,600 locations nationwide and let us do more for you. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The Mickey Flyler Show.
On 105.5 The Roar.
What were you thinking?
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
All right, final segment of the show. I've got a bunch of people on hold. I promise I'm going to get to everybody. Gentlemen, Pat from Easton, been hanging on forever. Hey, Pat, how you doing, my friend?
What's up, Mickey, man? How you doing?
Well, walking around in perpetual smile mode.
I know the feeling, man. I mean, like when you put your hat on or any of your clubs and stuff, you don't have to say anything. You just walk around, people like, they know.
Yeah, they know.
And so they know. And so, but I enjoyed it, man. It was, I was telling one of my friends that I talked to, all we all Clemson fans, Monday, and we were talking, and it's like, I was telling him, I said, I just feel calm. I said, I'm not, like, nervous. You know, it's like, I don't know what was going to happen, but I didn't see that coming. But it was like, I didn't have that worry of, man, can they hang with them? What is our DBs going to do? And we all talked about Clemson DBs, what were they being able to match up with Alabama's wide receivers, but nobody was talking about, you know, their defense backs matching up with our receivers, you know. And so, you know, and so to listen to it, to see how that played out, it was amazing. And then to listen to some of the national people, it was like they was always making the excuses for Alabama. Like Joel Klatt was talking about, well, they got our coach. Yeah, they did. But when they had different coordinators each year when they played Clemson, and Clemson had theirs all together, and it's like somebody saying, well, the schedule wasn't too tough, and, you know, Clemson's gone. And I'm like, you can't have it both ways. You know, just, you know, admit up to it, they was the better team, we won it, and stop with all these excuses. You know, it was just, we won the game, and that's how you look at it, and we was the better team, and we came in as the better team. You know, people just overlooked us because they keep looking at us saying, like Coach Sweeney said, we're little old Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and we've been a power like the last 10 years, and people still like, well, they're little Clemson. And I think it kind of woke up the college football world. So my thing is, you know, as fans, I'm the Triple H. I'm happy, I'm humble, and I'm hungry for another. I'm humble because we don't know how long this is going to keep lasting. I hope it keeps lasting a long time. And so it makes you be humble about it and that you did it. But hungry to win another one, you know, just to keep winning, because that's what sports is about. It's about competition, but it's also about winning.
Well, we talk about all the attributes of Dabo Sweeney and all the brilliant attributes of him. Now, moving forward, one of those attributes that will be leaned on, but I feel very confident about, is his competitive nature. I don't know anybody any more competitive than him. And he even talked about, man, they're back at work today working on next year, working on putting his roster together and making sure that's not the last one, because he likes that feeling now, no doubt about that one.
Well, you're going to have a lot of, like we were talking about the spring, about punting. You're going to have a lot of competition on the defensive side of the ball because so many guys are, you know, going into the draft or as a senior. So that's what I'm going to be looking forward to, how the D-line plays out, the defensive ends, the linebackers at corners. So that's going to be the fun part. But I think that's what he's looking forward to, the challenge of replacing those guys this past year. And with all the new guys coming in and the guys that are there, the competition about who's going to step up and who's going to play what. So I'm excited. I'm already looking forward to next year and seeing what's going to happen. But just a proud Clemson fan, man. Like I told you years ago when they won it the other year, you know, my father wasn't around to see it because he had passed away. And not to get to see the second one and then to have it happen again. And so I'm just one of them guys that's just happy, you know. And just like I said, I just put myself on. I don't brag. I don't run my mouth. I just put my hat on or my sweat tops on, and that's all that needs to be said.
That's right, man. Hey, man, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Always good to hear from you, man. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too, brother.
All right, man. Bye. Let's go to Sumter, South Carolina, where James checks in. Hey, good morning, James. How you doing?
Good morning, Nick. How you doing, sir?
Man, blessed. Very blessed. Hope you are, too.
It feels great, doesn't it?
Oh, man. It feels better than ever expected.
Man, we weathered through some bad years there in the early 90s, early 2000s, man, but everything has paid off for the best. The guy before me kind of took my thunder and what I was saying. It's just that I talk to coworkers who are alums of SEC schools, and they make excuses as if, you know, like our schedule. Okay, well, Bama didn't really have any problem going through the SEC schedule. If the SEC was so great and the ACC was so bad, then when the bowl matchup came, if you know football, Clemson would have been overwhelmed by Alabama. That they would not have been used to the speed, the tempo, and the intensity of the game. At no point in that game was Clemson intimidated, or the speed or the intensity was too much for them. There's nothing that Alabama had on offense or defense Monday night that Clemson hadn't seen that year before or been through that year before. And I'll say it 100 times. There's no one in the SEC, okay, who have those route concepts that we have and the individuals that can run those routes and the quarterback who can deliver the balls in those routes the way that we do. And people talk about that South Carolina game. Oh, well, South Carolina, they found a glitch where oftentimes when Clemson lines up, they look away from the ball and look to the sidelines. And at that point, South Carolina was snapping the ball, and they had everybody out of their fits. And that was the reason why we self-scouted ourselves. And if that game's played 5 more times, South Carolina wouldn't score 15. So I appreciate it. God bless. Hopefully I see you guys tomorrow. And it's great to be a Tiger all in.
Be careful in your trip, James. Thanks for calling in. Be careful coming up. You can't have it both ways. What Zach, I've been doing the show for 20 years. What I used to hear when the SEC was dominant and they win a bowl game, had great bowl seasons, what they would say is, well, obviously, we played against tougher competition as the year went on. And obviously, it is that kind of competition that prepared us for these bowl games. And now we've gone on to dominate you because we've seen better competition in the bowl games.
Obviously.
Now what they're saying is, obviously, that we got worn out through a season and worn down through a season, so we can't really play all that well in the bowl game. Now, one of those are two mutually exclusive ideas. You can't have it both ways. It is total spin. And the fact of the matter is that when you tee it up, however you prepare, whatever you bring to the table, whoever we bring to the dance, you got to dance with her. And the fact of the matter is, I watched Quinnen Williams dominate the SEC, and then I watched Quinnen Williams against Clemson. Quite frankly, he got pushed around. I watched a second-team guy like Albert Huggins go up against all SEC offensive linemen and Pierce Boggs and those guys and push him around.
You've seen the video running around Twitter of Albert Huggins clubbing Pierce Boggs?
Yeah, clubbing him.
Boy.
And pushing him around. And then I saw Clemson's physical wide receivers dominate smaller, weaker defensive backs at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk all you want to about all this Alabama that. Clemson staff knew going into the game they were the better team. However you played them, whoever's on your staff, line them up. Clemson staff knew going into the game they were the better team. 2 more phone calls. I got about a minute each. Hey, Andrew and Clemson, thanks for hanging on, man. I got about a minute. Go right ahead.
Okay, we're going to try to make it quick. One thing was said before was Saban looking old after that game. I thought the same thing watching that game, and I think a lot of it has to do, and we've talked about a lot of it has to do with his staff not being maintained. He's got new guys every year and turnover. I think it's just getting to where it's too much for him. He's always had his hands in everything, but I think it's just getting too much. And he had to do too much, and I think he's getting tired. That doesn't mean I don't think they'll be fantastic next year, because they probably will be. But I thought the exact same thing. He looked tired. And I think that's because his staff couldn't hold up to what he needed from them. And I'll leave it at that. But, yeah, there was no doubt that Clemson was better prepared and just a better team. And I don't have any doubt that Saban was watching Clemson all season. And that Clemson was watching Alabama all season.
Yeah, they both
and they've been preparing for each other because they knew it. But, you know, so the 1 week thing didn't make that much of a difference this year, but I think that was a big difference. I think there's a huge difference in the staff that you have there, and the continuity that Clemson has is an enormous advantage.
No doubt.
And y'all have a great day.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the phone call. Final phone call in the final minute. Hey, Tater Chicken Hater, go right ahead. Got about 1 minute.
I'll make it real quick. I got 2 quick observations, and they're both about the coaches in the game. I rewatched the game. I watched first half listening to Don Munson's thing, and most of the second half listening to Eli Gold's thing for Alabama. And when you watch these that broadcast, and they have one camera isolated on the sideline at Clemson, and when you watch Eli Gold's thing, is one camera isolated on the sideline at Alabama. Well, the first thing I want to say is the beginning of the game on the Clemson broadcast thing, Tom Rinaldi is talking to Dabo when he comes out of the locker room, and he asked him what he told the team. And you know what he told the team? It was like he called his shot. He said, let's go dominate. It was like Babe Ruth pointing the bat at the things. Let's go dominate. And then the second thing I observed, watching Saban on the sideline, never heard anybody mention this. I've never seen this before. Did you know he's got his own personal cup holder?
Yeah, I've seen that. I have seen that.
This guy follows him around holding his cup.
Yeah. We got get back coaches and cup holders now. Thanks an awful lot, man. What? Hey, got to run. Hey, let me thank Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. I forgive us for having to cut this thing very short. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Make that one phone call today. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. And then Eric Newton, Newton.com for the very best in this. Hey, you got a 5-second deal for me?
5-second deal. Parking tomorrow. The commuter lots will be available. CO1 parking lot off of Perimeter Road has a shuttle from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock tomorrow.